Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to strap our boots on. This is a perfect day to die. Wipe the blood out of our eyes.
Conservative conversation. You might have found this show on a multiple of ways because now the conservative conversation is a part of the Patriots network. And there's another word in there. That's the Patriot Journalist Network. And it's very new. It's only a couple days old, so that's why it took me a moment to access that in my brain. But you could have found it there, or straight from Blog Talk, or through a link on Facebook. And there's two ways to find the Patriots Journalist Network. And that is, one, going to Facebook. If you are a Facebook member, and just go into the top of the page and put in Newt Now, N-E-W-T, as one word, and that will take you to the Facebook app that will lead you to a show page that has multiple shows on it, including this one. You also see Charlotte Dively's Pray USA, and that is from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, and all these times are Eastern Time. And you will also find Samuel Samford's show, which is 10 p.m. to midnight and sometimes goes on later. And then you also have the Mark Prasik's live video chat, which is from 10 until 12, in which the audience actually can contribute into what the show into the show prep and what the midnight to the 2 a.m. Segment is going to be about. So it's a pretty interesting show. Another way that people could find their way on to here as far as Logic Political Talk is through the website, which you can find a link to the website from the homepage of my Blog Talk Radio show. And I suggest and I ask people to go ahead and check the website out. It has a lot of goodies on there. One, it has some video clips under the Get Involved page. And then there is a featured guest page, which shows you our featured guest word. And then there is a gift page in which I support organizations that I agree with or someone has suggested, such as last week, Aubrey Ashburn suggested a organization which helps save baby elephants. And you can actually adopt, so to speak, a baby elephant that has been orphaned due to poaching. And I think that's appropriate since, of course, for the Republican Party and is their mascot, we can help support the, the icon, which is the elephant. And also, there is a contact page where you can contact me through email. And then there's another page which covers green conservatism, which is the focus of the Thursday night shows here on Bard's Logic Political Talk. Now, I'd like to thank everyone who has come to the show, both live and on the archives. I'd like to thank you very much. And if you like the show, I would really appreciate if you would follow the show. And that's pretty easy to do. Just go to the homepage and click the little follow button under the icon, under the show's icon, and there you go. Now, tonight, when I'm going to, and thank you very much if you do follow the show, I'd really appreciate that. Now, tonight, I want to discuss what has been going on with the talking about the RNC unseating the Ron Paul delegates, and I think this is in order to coordinate the GOP establishment's pick, Mitt Romney. Now, with this being, as everyone's heard, an historic election, and some are even touting that this is the most important election of our lifetime, and at this point I tend to agree. And so what this is going to take as a historic moment in American history when it comes to elections, I think there also needs to be an historic action done. And that is for conservatives and libertarians to unite in a way that has never happened before. And that is, a possibility of, and this is what I've been hearing some undercurrents and some talk welling up from the conservatives and the libertarians, is either, a revolt or leaving the Republican Party and forming a third party after the election. However, if they feel it's dire enough, it very well may happen before the 2012 election in November, pending on the outcome of the convention. So that is what we're going to talk about tonight, about conservatives and libertarians coming together to fight against what I would describe as a convention power grab, in which they're trying to make sure that Mitt Romney, in what I would call, is coronated as the nominee, the GOP nominee. And so one of the things I like to do is go into the chat and see how they chime in. And Tessa chimes in and says, the peasants are revolting. Well, that's exactly how they would see it. Because I think in my opinion, the RNC does see themselves as some kind of oligarchy in which the electorate, not just the Republican electorate, but I contend a lot of the politicians see themselves as the oligarchy and the American people as their serfs to serve them. And when actually it's supposed to be backwards, they're supposed to be the servants of the people of this nation. Now, what I'd like to start off tonight is by reading an article that I have found on this subject, and it's the Doug Weed, the blog. Now, I don't know who Doug Weed is, but it was an article that speaks of what our topic is tonight, and I'd like to share that with the audience as well. So it says, RNC, Ron Paul delegates not welcome in Tampa. And it says, remember all those hard-fought victories, thousands of people who gave up their time and money to attend precinct caucuses and then faced coordinated attacks at district and county conventions where threatened establishment party hacks had hired thugs ready to arrest them, sometimes the very new country chairman duly elected to replace them? Remember all that? And we won some of those battles, and people were saying, don't be a defeatist, Doug. We can still win enough states to get him nominated. And Tampa ended up galvanized the nation behind his message. And they were right if it had been fair and it had happened naturally. There was always this, that the cheating that was experienced on a local level often happens at the national level too. And so we have to come to that moment, the one that I have been warning you about. Here is a message coming out of headquarters tonight. And I believe he's talking about the RNC headquarters they're talking about last night. The Committee on Contests recently issued a ruling on the establishment's challenge to Ron Paul's delegates and alternates who were duly elected in Maine, and on our challenges to the outright cheating that occurred in Louisiana, Massachusetts, and Oregon, alternates only. Now, I'm going to put this little disclaimer in. I personally have been and still am a Newt Gingrich supporter. That is who I want to see at the top of the ticket, is Newt Gingrich. But Newt Gingrich cannot get there unless the conservatives and the libertarians unite to possibly have a ticket, one that I've, not just myself, have put forth as possibly a Gingrich-Paul ticket. I'm not talking about Paul Ryan. But this can't be done if the RNC is going to be doing these kinds of tyrannical tactics in order to coordinate Mitt Romney, then frankly, this cannot be done. Newt Gingrich being the nominee, it cannot be done, nor can there be a brokered convention to get someone other than Mitt Romney, which I contend would not be able to beat Barack Obama in November. And we can discuss that in more detail, more depth, later this evening. So after that disclaimer, I'll finish this article. It says, despite Ron Paul supporters being so clearly in the right, in these four states, the establishment is so far refusing to rule fairly and seat our duly elected delegates and or alternates. Here's a brief summary of the bogus challenge made by the GOP establishment against us in Maine, as well as our challenges to the cheating that occurred elsewhere. In Maine, where Ron Paul supporters held a clear majority in the state's convention, the establishment is attempting to unseat the state's duly elected delegates and alternates, acting like sore losers in the process. The challenge to our delegates in Maine is so bogus that the Republican governor, Paul LePage, who is one of the few delegates not being challenged by the establishment, has declared he will not attend the Republican National Convention unless Ron Paul's delegates and alternates who were duly elected are seated. In Louisiana, establishment bigwigs used threats, intimidation, and force, literally smashing the bones of one gentleman, to shut out Ron Paul supporters who had a clear majority at the state convention. In Oregon, the state chairman blatantly ignored the votes of the convention, taking it upon himself to replace the duly elected alternate delegates with a appointed slate chalked full of establishment cronies. In Mitt Romney's home state of Massachusetts, corrupt party officials changed the rules after the game was over, kicking out Ron Paul's duly elected delegates and alternates and replacing them with their hand-picked cronies. As you can see, the old guard establishment doesn't care about cheating, lying, abusive process, and high-handedness in our party. All they seem to care about is maintaining their iron grip over the Republican Party. But Ron Paul's number one goal for the RNC is making sure his delegates and alternates who deserve to be seated in Tampa are credentialed. So if the establishment wants a fight in Tampa, rest assured we're going to give them one. Which I like to hear that. I'm going to scroll up to see when this was written. And unfortunately, I don't have a date there. But some of the comments are dated August 14th, which is today. So I am guessing that people are at least chiming in on this article today if this was not written. Well, I guess it was written today because we talked about things that happened last night. Okay, I had a brain freeze there for a moment. I apologize. Currently, I'll get back to the article. Currently, our campaign lawyers and staff are furiously working to analyze and craft the appropriate response to the committee's rulings, and we'll be sure to keep you informed as we move forward in the process. And believe me, we will not sit idly by and watch the establishment run roughshod over Ron Paul supporters who are illegally railroaded by the GOP. We will stand up and fight for all of Ron Paul's delegates and or alternates in these four states, and we will not back down. Of course, one would think the Romney campaign would want these conflicts resolved so they didn't become a major issue at the convention. But so far, they sat idly by on the sidelines. Hopefully, they'll change their do-nothing approach once they realize we are serious about going all out to win these credentialed battles. And remember, nearly 90 major media outlets have already reserved a spot at our We the Future rally. So if the GOP goes through with these bogus challenges, they won't be able to hide behind their iron curtain. They will be exposed by the press. The good news is the Committee on Contests ruling is not the final word in this fight. The battle will be decided by the Credentials Committee in Tampa, where we are very organized and prepared to take action. As the battle rages over the next 2 weeks, I'll be sure to keep you updated on our progress and any new developments that occur along the way. Now, that's why I say that we need to bring the conservatives and the libertarians and have them united against what the GOP establishment and the RNC is trying to do. That is what we need to do. And there's groups that are popping up on Facebook. There's talk about it on Twitter. Lots of talk about it on Twitter. And so the message is going to get out. And there's going to be groups, as I said, on Facebook that have been propping up, that it should very well get the attention. But we need to do this in such a way that almost like the Tea Party. I think one of the reasons why the Tea Party was so successful is because it got people out into the streets. And that's, I believe, what we're going to need to do, is get people out in the streets and protesting what is going on. Much like the Tea, as I said, much as the Tea Party did in 2010. And we see how successful that was in getting people elected. Now, at this time, I'd like to play a clip for you that I played last night about
Mitt Romney. And this is something George Soros said that you will not find on the so-called conservative media, nor would you find it on mainstream media.
Well, look, either you'll have an extremist conservative, be it Gingrich or Santorum, in which case I think it will make a big difference which of the two comes in. If it's between Obama and Romney, there isn't all that much difference, except for the crowd that they bring with them. Romney would have to take Gingrich or Santorum as a vice president and probably have some pretty extreme candidates for the Supreme Court. So that's the downside.
But isn't there actually quite a big difference between even a President Obama and a President Romney when it comes to questions of taxation, particularly taxation of the so-called 1%, issues like carried interest? Do you see any difference
there? That is the big difference, and that has led my hedge fund community abandon Obama in favor of any Republican because they don't like to be taxed.
Are you one of Lenin's useful idiots in the view of your fellow hedge fund billionaires to be making this kind of argument?
Well, I suppose so. I'm a traitor to my class.
Okay, folks. So if George Soros himself, it's telling with what he said about Romney. Now, we get all the time, why are you against Romney? Why are you doing this? You're just being divisive. There are many reasons why we are against Romney. And some of those can be or is encapsulated in this next clip I'd like to play for the folks. And this is called Still Voting for Romney.
I'm running for office, for Pete's sake.
Who is this guy? Can you trust him?
I have never supported the President's Recovery Act, all right, the stimulus. No time, nowhere, no how.
I think there is need for economic stimulus.
You're only allowed a certain number of flips before people begin to doubt your character.
The big issue with Mitt Romney has been the issue of abortion. Mm-hmm. Has he flip-flopped on abortion?
I will preserve and protect a woman's right to choose.
The right next step in the fight to preserve the sanctity of life is to see Roe v. Wade overturned.
He was pro-choice, then he's pro-life.
Or he flip-flops again, just like he did on abortion, just like he did on Ronald Reagan.
Look, I was an independent during the time of Reagan-Bush. I'm not trying to return to Reagan-Bush.
The principles that Ronald Reagan espoused are as true today as they were when he spoke them.
There you go again.
In 1985, I helped found a company. I learned how America competes with companies in other countries. In other countries.
The money he has that he didn't inherit is what he made as a private equity mogul, shutting down companies, liquidating their assets, and firing their American workers.
I think you'll find that I've been as consistent as human beings can be.
If you're looking for someone who's never changed any positions on any policies, then I'm not your guy. I'm not your guy.
I think Americans just don't know sometimes which Mitt Romney they're dealing with.
The new cover of Time magazine today asks the question, why don't they like me?
Mitt Romney spends little to no time doing interviews on the TV, whereas the other candidates are working the Sunday news show circuit like a politician running for president.
Romney often bypassing reporters on the rope line.
Remember earlier this year how Romney got $1 million donation from an organization that just suddenly ceased to exist the next day?
It's really someone wanting to give Romney the money while staying in the shadows.
Mitt Romney stealing all of Barack Obama's big dollar Wall Street donors.
A good chunk of his funds came from his buddies on Wall Street, like Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, and Bank of America.
To get that kind of money, you've got to cozy up as an incumbent to all of the special interest groups who can go out and raise money for you from their members. That kind of relationship has an influence on the way you're going to vote.
But look, I'm not going to spend my time going after Ben Bernanke. I'm not going to take my effort and focus on the Federal Reserve.
Should the chairman of the Federal Reserve be appointed again?
I think he's doing a good job.
You do?
Yes, I do. And I think it's important to have the Fed as an independent agency. I do not think you want to have the Congress of the United States trying to pull strings at the Fed.
He physically, personality-wise, comes across as if he was designed by East German scientists to be the perfect android politician.
I thought it was such a disastrous interview for Mitt Romney.
Romney's donations to lobbyists actually come to more than all of his GOP counterparts combined.
Do you really want this cat to be president?
Romney can't win. He's dead in the water.
Well, that's what we did in Massachusetts, and that is we put together an exchange, and the president's copying that idea. I'm glad to hear that.
Obamacare is bad news, and if I'm president of the United States, I will repeal it.
I don't think I've ever hired an illegal in my life.
We hired a lawn company to mow our lawn. And they had illegal immigrants that were working there.
Flip-flop myth.
But I believe the world is getting warmer. I believe that humans contribute to that.
My view is that we don't know what's causing climate change on this planet.
Mitt Romney's reputation as a flip-flopper who changes position because of political expedience.
If Republicans didn't like Mitt Romney's position on the so-called union-busting proposal in Ohio, all they had to do is wait one day before he changed it.
I'm not speaking about the particular ballot issues.
But by today, Romney had a different answer.
I fully support Governor Kasich's, I think it's called Question 2 in Ohio.
He's changed his position on a number of issues.
Republican Mitt Romney says he will not sign a no new taxes pledge.
I'm proud to be the only major candidate for president to sign the tax pledge.
Your view has changed so dramatically.
I just signed a piece of legislation extending the ban on certain assault weapons.
I do not support any new legislation of an assault weapon ban nature.
Experts are predicting kind of a tough fight between Romney and his biggest ideological opponent, Mitt Romney from 4 years ago. Those guys don't agree on anything.
And there are two Mitt Romneys.
This guy has played both sides of the fence with equal fervor.
The TARP got paid back, and it kept the financial system from collapsing.
So you feel it was well worth it?
Well, it was the right thing to do. TARP ought to be ended. TARP ought to be ended.
Mitt Romney flip-flopped again. He's trying to take credit for saving the auto industry.
I'm not willing to sit back and say too bad for Michigan, too bad for the Fed and the car industry.
After he proposed letting the auto industry die.
That's exactly what I said. Let Detroit go bankrupt. Let Detroit go bankrupt.
You're only allowed a certain number of flips before people begin to doubt your character.
I think people understand that I'm a man of steadiness and constancy.
This guy, can you trust him?
Mitt Romney's reputation as a flip-flopper who changes position. He's changed his position on a number of issues.
The mixed messages are what did it.
Some people are going to see those changes of minds as awfully politically convenient.
It's an issue of character.
The core issues for a man, as you said earlier, who doesn't seem to have a core.
I'm running for office, for Pete's sake.
You know now, folks.
There are a lot of reasons not to elect me.
Sorry about that, folks. I really
I'd like to ask you to just pass this message along to a friend. Thanks so much.
Hey, I didn't see the reel, so I didn't. I thought it was over. I apologize for that. So yeah, I mean, with a record like that and material like that, that's just wide open for the Obama campaign. The RNC knows that, and that's why they have to use such tactics that they're trying to do now by unseating the Ron Paul delegates. Than pretty much forcing these what I would call tyrannical tactics. But so I've got someone here on the line who probably has forgotten more about delegates than I will ever know, and that person is Barbara Haney. Hello, Barbara. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
Well,
it's been quite a campaign season, hasn't it?
Oh, my gosh. I've never seen one such as this before, and I've been following politics since I was 10 years old.
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you something. The thing that really bothers me at this point, the overriding thing that bothers me, is that never in my lifetime or in the entire history of the GOP has a vice presidential nominee been announced and given it their acceptance speech so far prior to the convention. You know, this is unprecedented. You know, I'm going to be honest. I know people want to defeat Obama, okay? I do too. Believe me, I want to defeat Obama. But my response is because he is transforming this country and changing it from a representative republic to basically a dictatorship, in my opinion. That's what's happening, right? We're bringing a GOP-style dictatorship for a liberal one. This whole notion, the delegates are supposed to be a deliberative body, okay? And if this is being rigged so that there is no deliberation on the part of the delegates, then basically what we have is we don't have a GOP deliberative body at a convention, then we have a GOP floor show. And there's nothing wrong with that, okay? But just be honest about it, let's quit going through the facade of having primaries and delegate selection. Let's just cut to the chase and, you know, just have a convention. You know, you could in the GOP offices, then we could just have a convention with the trade fair. It could be Red State Part 2. Anybody can go. It doesn't have to be, you know, you don't have to get elected and go to your state party chair. You get what I'm saying? I mean, like, if you're going to have a trade show, then, or a dog and pony show, cool. Have it, sell tickets, okay? Just like Red State or anybody else. But, you know, I mean, why go through this whole process of selecting delegates if you're not going to let them do anything?
Right. It's almost like a coronation of sorts more than it is, you know, the picking of someone in a, as you said, in a representative democracy.
Yeah. I mean, you know, what choices are we to have? What color the drapes are? I don't think so. You know, I'm not trying to be facetious. I mean, be serious here, all right? If the delegates, I mean, how much, what if Romney gets the nomination and he wins, okay? His whole time in office, this guy named Richard Gilbert is his name, the attorney for Ron Paul, he is going to be out there every night on YouTube talking down Mitt Romney and just whamming him at every turn, you know it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as long if this proceeds the way it is, I mean, the way it's going, right, in order to do what he has done to guarantee his nomination, he has essentially alienated, made enemies out of people that he could have easily made his friend.
Yeah, I think he did. I think he did that throughout the entire process. And personally, I think the reason why the campaign was done, the RNC and the establishment handled the campaign the way they did, is they knew they had to use these kind of strong-arm tactics to get their hand picked, chosen, because you know, the people themselves about these kind of tactics would not accept Mitt Romney, much as if you're seeing all the resistance you see now.
Yeah. Well, you know, it is what it is, but I tell you, you know, even in their announcement of Paul Ryan, they had to diss Sarah Palin, okay? It's like they can't get out of the habit of attacking Republicans. And then after they get a day or so out there, and it isn't even 24 hours, Mitt Romney's already running from Paul Ryan's budget plan. He's already been caught in a discussion with somebody going, well, yeah, my plan's different than Paul Ryan's, And then they ask him, well, what provisions? He goes, well, I'm not sure. There's a few numbers that are different, but I have to sit down and take a look at my plan again and hit.
Oh, jeez.
Like, dude, seriously? Seriously? If it's your plan, you should know it, right? But, I mean, that's what I'm thinking in my mind, okay? Obviously, you know, I'm not saying that out loud except for right now, but it was all over the news, so I figured, well, me repeating it on a blog talk show with a handful of listeners is nothing compared, and not that you have a handful of listeners, I know you have more than that, but compared to CBS News, if CBS News
we don't have an international television show, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, it's just being real here. So, I mean, if it's been all over CBS News, I'm just repeating what had already been brought to the hundreds of thousands of people already. So that would be ludicrous. Okay, it's unbelievable stuff going on. You know, and already throwing Ryan under the bus.
Yeah, that's probably just kind of throwing his own TV under the bus.
And then they throw him under the bus. It's like, you know what? I would have already, if I was Brian, I probably would have already given him one of my other fingers that, you know, was reserved for sled dogs or something. I mean, this was, you know, unbelievably rocky start. And there's just many things here that are unprecedented, in my opinion, okay? Unbelievably unprecedented. And then, not only that, where's Rubio in all this? For months and months and months, we did nothing but hear about Rubio, right?
Right.
And all of a sudden, like, they're expecting Rubio to introduce Ryan. And it's like, are you kidding me? Did you
really?
Yeah. I read that today in the paper. And I thought to myself, boy, I know what I tell you to go do, buddy. But
exactly. Yeah, they're talking about Rubio being the... Yeah, they're talking about Rubio being the pick all this time. Now they want Rubio to introduce Paul Ryan.
I know. It's like, are you serious?
Yeah, and they're seriously not. They're not thinking. It's obvious. I mean, they're thinking, but I don't know what the hell heck that is. You know, being just they just keep pulling gap. You know,
it's like they're going out of their way to insult everybody.
Right.
And people, if you're out there, there's Mr. L's Tavern is a blog spot, and he did a marvelous, marvelous message to the Mitt Romney.
Good clip of that. I didn't get a chance to hear it all yet.
Well, you know, and I have been saying for a long time, it's Romney's advisors. It's Romney's advisors. You know, I don't even know Romney. I'm sure he's a nice guy. I don't know. I haven't met him. Okay? I mean, he's got nice sons. He's got... I don't know, but whoever is advising him is really not up to the task at hand, and this is disastrous. It really is.
Well, I mean, and Romney picks these people, so what does that tell about his decision-making ability? I mean, these are the people that he's picking to surround himself with. I mean, if he's going to surround himself with these type of people, you know, now, as an advisor for a campaign, I mean, who's he going to surround himself with as president? And if he was to have a cabinet, who would be in the cabinet? You know,
well,
I mean, look at the people.
Let's think about something else, too. What the ramifications are for Paul Ryan being on the ticket. In the House, Paul Ryan was able to step up some seniority to get in the committee chairs that he has, all right, because of his skills. He has been a fiscal conservative voice in the House, all right? Probably to the consternation of John Boehner. Nevertheless, he had a voice, okay? That's the truth. Now, if Mitt Romney wins, that means we lose a conservative voice in the House. Appropriations, okay? And if we lose the White House, we get back our person who is a member of the conservative. So it's almost set up for us to be better off if we lose.
There are some people contending that. That's why, you know, a lot of your conservative, you know, I've been hearing talk, you know, that's welling up about conservatives and libertarians uniting together to come together to pretty much after this election, you know, there's a lot of talk about the formation of a third party to run against the Democrats and the Republicans. Because if it's based on conservatism and libertarianism, you won't just draw from the Democrat or the Republican Party. You'll draw from some independents and from some Democrats as well.
Right, right. Well, you know, antitrust legislation has gone out the window in this country. I mean, there's no effort to. If it's too big to fail, if it's too big, you know? I mean, why are we having these conglomerates? Every time we have conglomerates and trusts and these huge megalith corporations develop, our economy stalls out. I mean, when you lose the competitive process in the marketplace, government gets big, business gets big because they want government to block entry into the marketplace, and so you end up with a stalled-out economy. And you end up with, fixed prices and fixed output. That's a capitalist model. And what's sad is Barack Obama even knows what a monopoly capitalist model is. All right, and yet he keeps using fiscal policy in an attempt to fix it. And the only way it's going to fix it is by reducing regulations and using antitrust policy. When he does that, then fiscal and monetary policy will work. But they won't work as long as you have monopoly capitalism. And by monopoly capitalism, I mean consolidated businesses. All right? And he knows this. I know he knows this. All right? And yet, let's put it this way. I don't know if Barack Obama knows it. The people advising him, I know they know it. Okay? Because I know they've read the literature. All right? And there's no way you'll convince me otherwise because I've read what they've written and I've looked at what they have cited in their work. So I know they know what Barrow Grossman's models are. I know they know what the Gauss-Markov theory says, what it implies, and what the implications are for an open economy and what the implications are for a monopoly model. They know this, okay? This stuff has been run to the ringer long after Samuelson. And so these guys know, and they're not using the tools that they know they need to use, all right, or they're not willing to use them because it doesn't suit their crony agendas, because they are in the pockets of the business, and the businesses are in the pockets of the government. It's a big cabal, you know?
Right. Well, yeah, and unfortunately, it's to these private organizations, which we call parties, which they're, you know, behind it too. And there's a lot of people who realize that. That's why they're talking about a third party. And actually,
K Street wants people in both parties. K Street wants people in both parties, so they're in control no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And most of K Street care less about a lot of social issues, whether it's abortion, whether it's homosexual marriage, and there's a list of social issues that K Street, now some on K Street too, but the vast majority of K Street really doesn't care about. There's nothing in it for them on those issues. They got their certain issues in the fiscal pie that they care about, and they need to get those issues in there for their agenda to get their money from their clients, okay?
Well, and that's why, you know, I'm going to, you know, chime in about something Carol Socha said in the chat, you know, saying that, you know, to use Biden words, this is a big, you know, blanking deal. And, you know, as the most important election, you know, probably of our lifetimes. And you know, she's also saying that, you know, see, this is out there. That, you know, I'm leaving the Republican Party after this election. I'll be voting independent unless a third party is formed. And that's kind of like where I'm kind of leaning right now. I mean, if we do indeed get stuck with Romney.
I still feel that we can get in the party and get in there in the ground of the party and try to change it. I still believe it's possible. All right? But it may not be. I will know more after I come back from Tampa. But I just cannot imagine. I really cannot imagine all these 15B plans where they have party chairmen appointing the delegates, all right? And you want to talk about stealth delegates? Oh, my goodness. There are stealth delegates all over the place. You know, I talked to a lot of delegates over the past week, and let me tell you something. I have talked to more people who are delegates in name for one person, but they're for another person. And it's all of the campaigns, all right? So my campaign, by the way, is just as bad at it as the Ron Paul campaign, all right? Pure and simple. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if anybody wants to say, well, the Ron Paul delegates, well, I'll tell you what, the Romney delegates are the same way, okay? They'll you know, take the plank out of your own eye before you, you know, go after the splinter in your neighbor's eye, okay? Mm-hmm. It's very good to sit there and accuse the Ron Paul campaign of one thing, and then turn around and you're doing the same dirt thing, okay?
So right, exactly. Don't throw stones in glass houses.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, you know, pot kettle, dude, come on. So, you know, I'm not trying to be disrespectful to them. I'm just pointing it out. They're sitting there launching this complaint about the Ron Paul people, but I'm seeing them do the same thing the Ron Paul people did.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure the difference is here, you know. Why? Because they had more electoral votes or something? Why? I mean, more delegate votes or something? Well, I think it's wrong. And two wrongs don't make a right. Two wrongs just make a lot of more wrong. And it makes a lot of hurt feelings. And it makes a lot of people resentful, okay? And what it's going to mean is that Romney will never have, if he becomes a presumptive nominee, if he goes from presumptive to confirmed nominee, he's never going to have the strength of the party. He's never going to have the true strength of the party behind him.
No,
if Romney was smart, what he would do, okay, because he knows he controls the delegates, right? If Romney was smart, what he would do is he'd say, you know what, let there be four nominations, let people vote however they want to vote, and win the darn thing honest and straight up, because he probably could, all right? And then he would truly be the party's pick, the pick of the people, okay, rather than the pick of the House. I mean, how much stronger would that be for him if he wanted to be a truly strong candidate? But see, that's the problem. He would rather be forceful and make enemies rather than doing the right thing and emerging as a winner of the people rather than a winner of the establishment.
Well,
and if I'm crazy, then he should go back and he should listen to what Ann Coulter said on Sean Hannity's show, or I think it was, right after Andrea Salt made her, well, if he'd been in Massachusetts, he could have had Romney. She would have had Romney care. Okay? I mean, that night, Ann Coulter got on, and she was furious. And the way he has set himself up, he's kind of at the mercy of those people. And that's what's making him a weak candidate, because he's not of the rest of the people, the little people out there.
There's a lot of reasons why Romney's a weak candidate. And I'm going to put this for this scenario for.
I mean,
I think that if Romney was even go ahead and say, okay, open it up to the votes, I think that even if he won the nomination that way, I still think he'd lose in the general election, and I think the delegates would know that, and I think that's what, you know, I think the delegates would know that he would not win in the general election, you know, because for many reasons.
You will never persuade the Romney campaign of that one. But you would the other argument.
What do you mean the other argument?
The argument I gave you would probably persuade a lot of Romney people. The argument you're using would just piss them off.
even if Romney was to you know, to do as you suggested, you know, with open things up. I mean, I don't think he would win, because if the delegates, you know, cared about the nation, because he's not going to be the one who could beat Obama.
I'm for Newt, okay? And I'm just telling you, I talked to hundreds of them, some of them are kind of scary to talk to, let me tell you. Some of them are very pleasurable to talk to, and I don't agree with very many of them. But, you know, we have different states, different coalitions, and different concerns. However, the overriding concern that I have is that it is not just the electability issue, but it's the responsiveness issue. During the Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day, Governor Romney was nowhere to be found, okay?
Right.
He was, but it seems to me that if I'm, you know, if my friend's having a Chick-fil-A protest to help save him from Harry Reid and Harry Reid's imaginary friend, who has Mitt Romney's imaginary taxes and knows imaginary information, and here he had this chance to put that aside, bury it between the Sudokus and the crosswords and the newspaper, and go out there and be out among the people, which is infinitely more pleasurable than being with the press on Harry Reid's imaginary and the imaginary taxes, and it would have just been a much better position for him all the way around, and he would have had to cover all the conservatives, the Christian conservatives. But instead, he not only decries it, but he comes out the next morning and makes a statement reaffirming his views on homosexuality that he had prior to this election cycle. Oh my gosh, are you kidding me? He's sketchy, all right. Severely conservative? I don't think so. In what way?
No, he's not severely conservative, or else he wouldn't have been able to have one of his fundraisers at the, you know, the home of the CEO who's manufactured the day after Phil.
No, it's like, oh, are you kidding me? I was just anyway. I continue to be flabbergasted. I continue to wonder what the heck is wrong with America. What's wrong with? I have pieces of people my age. Okay, you know, these aren't little kids who've gone through a crummy education system. These are people my age. All right? I'm just flabbergasted. But I'm not saying all of them. Have just floored. It's easier to talk to the younger ones. They're far more thinking.
Yeah, and that's why I'm thinking that, you know, it's a historic moment that's got to, you know, that has to occur, because this is an historic election.
Mm-hmm.
And much like the Tea Party, you know, got out into the streets and things of that nature, you know, the rail against Obamacare, I think what's going on in the, you know, in the convention, or what they're doing up to the running of the convention, is, you know, is just as important, because, I mean, if you can have a candidate or, you know, the committee, you know, of a party just running roughshod, you know, over the people who are supposed to be making the decision on who's going to be, you know, possibly the next president of the United States. I mean, I think that's a real big deal, and it's going to take, and I think it's going to take a historic effort in order to combat it, because they're so entrenched, you know, the establishment is so entrenched, and unfortunately, you know, they're so powerful that they continually want to try to put it over the people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway,
it's going to take a mass movement, because, you know, we may have, you know, the numbers, but they have the money, and unfortunately, you know, a lot of money can really you know, overshadow a large grassroots effort.
Yeah. Yes, it can. It can be a huge deal. So anyway, yeah, I wanted to call and talk a little bit about. So I'll just kind of stay in the line for a few minutes. I don't know if you had something planned or not. Yeah, I just kind of interrupted your show.
I start off with a topic, and this is an organic show, and sometimes, you know, the show goes into other directions other than what was planned for the evening, and that's okay. And sometimes, and I had Sammy on the line, but unfortunately I guess he had to go. He just wanted to chime in for a minute. Yeah, but I missed it. I was getting ready to bring him in. I didn't see him in the chat, and I was going to send him a message. So perhaps later on he can call in. But were you here long enough or early enough to hear the article I read about the unseating of the Ron Paul delegates?
I didn't hear your particular article, but I have heard it before. So, I mean, I've heard similar articles. I know that they were unseated, and I know there's a couple other places where they were unseated, too. So, it's happening. It's going to some states, you know, where people aren't even, you have a couple states haven't even finished electing their delegates yet.
Wow.
They're waiting for the last minute. Yeah, it's amazing. It's just amazing.
Yeah, and as I said, I reiterate, I have never seen, you know, I have never seen, an election quite like this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've never seen it like this before.
No, no, and it's just, it's almost like thuggery, you know.
Oh, definitely. You know, and that's what, with Fox News and what I don't understand is, you know, in the RNC and the Republican parties, you know, they want to rail against the, you know, and they should, you know, rail against the Black Panthers with voter intimidation, you know, back in 2008. But then they turn around and do pretty much the same thing. I mean, how are they taking any kind of moral high ground with that?
Yeah, well, they're not worried about moral high ground.
Well, no, that's...
I guess they're all really good at the breaststroke, and they can all swim real well, because moral high ground doesn't seem something to be useful or important to them.
No,
yeah.
And it's going to... And in my opinion, I think it's going to be because of that lack of moral high ground that you're going to have, what we talked about last night, is there's a lot of conservatives and a lot of libertarians who are talking about getting, I'm getting a lot of back echo here, so I'm going to try something real quick, Barbara. Now, yeah, that's what it was. Sorry, Barbara. I was getting a lot of, I was hearing myself on my earpiece, I guess with your, you know, the software you're using to call in. But if you'd like to chime in about anything, I will turn your mic back on and just let me know in the chat that you want to chime in. But I'll be getting some bad reverb on that. So just, yeah, chime in if you want to say anything, and I'll be quiet and not talk so I'm not hearing myself twice if you'd like to chime in. But what I'm saying is, you know, last night in part of the discussion was, you know, libertarians and conservatives, you know, are considering uniting together because of what, you know, that lack of moral high ground that seems to be lacking from the RNC and the establishment in trying to do the kind of tactics, you know, like unseating these delegates to try to, what I would call Mitt Romney, which, you know, as we've, you know, said many times before, and many reasons why, that, you know, Romney, I mean, look at the polls now. I mean, Romney's like 6 to 7 points, you know, under Obama. I mean, with the economy, and then with Obama saying to the Russians, oh, we'll just wait to this election, and then, you know, we can act in more flexibility. Or you think Romney should be 10 points up in the polls, which he's not. You know, right now, I did some analysis just a couple days ago, And Obama still has, if the election was held today, 300-something, you know, electoral college. So, you know, that being said, and then you have, and because of all this, you have the libertarians and the conservatives, you know, talking about, you know, after this is all said and done, you know, the 2012 election, and possibly even before, they're thinking about a mass exodus of the Republican Party, you know, to form their own, possibly like the Constitution Party, which they can draw from not only Republicans, but independents and Democrats as well. You know, and then remember, you know, Perot, in his first time running, he got 19% of the vote, and that only took him a year to do. And what they're thinking is, you know, if there's, you know, 4 years where the conservatives and libertarians, they have something like a Constitution Party, you know, and they've got 4 years, you're only going to need 34% of the vote to win the presidency. And the way things are going, the way that the Democrat Party and the Republican Party are kind of, you know, melding into a one party, because you have your liberal socialists in Barack Obama, okay, but then you have your socialist corporatist from Mitt Romney. So the farther, I don't know why the Republicans think the farther to the left that the Democrats go, that the Republicans got to go more towards the left. And that doesn't make sense. You know, so this the country's going more towards the left, going more towards Europe. So that's not, you know, where the conservatives and the libertarians want to see things go. And thus they're talking about having this party. And splitting off from the Republican Party. But at this time, I believe Sammy called back in, and as I said on many nights, this is a man who does not need much introduction, but all I will say is he does have a show also on Blog Talk Radio that all of you are aware of, and that is from 10 p.m. to midnight and many times over that. So without any further ado, here is Samuel Sanford. And then once again, Barbara, as I said, if you would like to chime in, I was getting some kind of echoes. If you'd like to mention something in the chat, and then I will let you in. Thank you.
Hey, Robert.
Hey, Sammy, how are you?
Oh, we're doing good, my friend. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing really well, thank you.
And I like the topic of your show tonight, and I agree with you. There's going to be a mass exodus from the constitutional conservatives from the Republican Party if we do not change this in Tampa.
Right.
The libertarians are fed up with them. The conservative Republicans are fed up with them. And there's no other place to go except to form a new party. Because, the Democratic Party, as you stated, is very progressive. And the Republican Party is getting to be the same way. And one of them is progressive, big government, big labor. The other one is big business progressive. And hey, Barbara.
Right, you have.
Hey.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead and say what you were saying. I was just saying hello.
Well, yeah, on one side, on Obama, you have your social welfare. And then you have on Romney, you have your corporate welfare.
Yep.
You know,
exactly.
So here you're taking all this money from other people, and it's both redistribution of wealth. One just going, to the constituency of one candidate, the other's going to the constituency of the other. And what it's doing is it's taking money from the, in essence, taking money from the middle class. Now they're going to give, we're going to take some more from the rich so that they pay their fair share, blah, blah, blah. But that's not, even if you took, a little more, as they are saying, that's not going to help, bring this economy back. You actually have to, cut spending, and I don't see where either one, Obama or Romney, would do that.
Did you hear about today? I saw something somewhere on the internet that it looks like the bailout of the auto industry. The United States is looking at losing, I think it was $25 billion, either $25 or $50 billion, I heard today, on the bailout.
Yeah, I did not.
And, it just blows my mind that people want to keep on doing stupid things and supporting stupid people, a.k.a. Barack Obama and Mitt Romney. Paul Ryan does not excite me, and I know he doesn't excite you.
No.
And
but I bet he puts a thrill up Chris Matthews' leg. Because it gives them someone else to blast on, and
yep.
Someone with a lot of material to what it sounds like.
And I I'm looking at Carol's post in there. We had a primaries for the U.S. Senate,
really?
The U.S. House, and a lot of local governments here in Florida today. We voted early last week. And
let's see. Okay, Sammy, well, I see on the line here, I believe I've got Chris, who I believe has a couple of the Facebook pages that have both conservatives and libertarians joining in order to, you know, fight the good fight against the Republican establishment and the rhinos of the Republican Party. So I believe this is Chris on 360. Is this Chris?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Chris, thank you very much for calling in tonight.
Yeah, I had a wall tore up outside. It was, probably 115 degrees working on it, but I got it all sheeted, or got the, had to put a new window in and that kind of stuff. So I walked in, logged on, and saw your title and jumped on the phone.
Oh, there you go. Well, you've got so, the floor, and then anyone else like to chime in? And Barbara, if you'd like to chime in too, just say mention something in the chat, and I'll let you begin. I was just getting some echo or reverb from, you know, from when you were coming in. So go ahead, Chris, or when you were talking. So go ahead, Chris.
Well, I caught the tail end of what Sammy was talking about. So catch me up. What have you guys been talking about? Where? What the direction has it gone?
If you want to repeat your point.
I had interjected about the last big topic I had mentioned was about, I saw somewhere on the internet today that it looks like the U.S. government is doomed to lose $25 billion in the auto bailout. And Barack Obama was just up in Detroit or someplace a couple weeks ago, touting how the bailout has saved it and was a complete success. And we know that's all. We knew it was going to be a lie from the get go. And
both of them.
Yep.
I'm sorry. I'm going to be sarcastic, man. I've been in some hot weather for the last 8 hours. Sorry, Sammy.
No, it's okay, Chris. Actually, I'm going to have to bow off of here because I got to get ready for my show, and I got a couple things I need to go do ahead of time. I just wanted to call in for a minute and give Robert my support.
Well, thank you, Sammy. I really appreciate it. And, of course, folks, that's Samuel Sanford, and he has a show also on Blog Talk Radio that follows immediately after this show. From 10 p.m. to midnight, if not longer. And it is Constitutional Conservatives Unite is the name of the show.
Cool.
And we'll be cranking up in about 50 minutes. And, Robert, keep on doing your awesome shows. You're rocking.
And thank you very much, Sammy. Take care.
And y'all take care, too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. And real quick, I want to chime in. I had I'm really happy about the interview I had last Thursday about with Aubrey Ashburn, because I've liked her music for a long time. And for those of you who listened to the interview either live or on the archives, I really appreciate it. Thank you very much. And also, it's good to say that today Blog Talk Radio is featuring that interview on Blog Talk Radio. So I'm really happy about that.
Cool.
So. Thank you. So go ahead, Chris. And I mentioned about the Facebook pages that you have that are relevant to the discussion, the topic tonight. So if you'd like to tell people a little bit about those, go ahead.
Well, it's still in the making. You know, when I first set it up and I brought you on, you know, we had just barely set it up. And
right.
One of the things that I've been real patient with is because of the lawsuit.
Have you heard anything more about that? Have you heard any more on that?
No. Well, not since this morning, but I guess I can jump over there real quick and see if anybody said anything. But
still get the paralegal on the show one of these times, that'd be great. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'd love to get her on.
Plus, it's always good to get a female voice over the phone as well. I must be honest.
Yeah. Well, if she's listening, because you know some people are prone to that, some people aren't.
No, I understand that. That's why I like to chat for if people don't want to call in. Hey, if she don't want to call in, she can come in the chat and just type it in, you know, for the people. But you know, either way, as I appreciate
right.
it. But go ahead, Chris.
Well, she's a couple different things, because yesterday we got off. I started to get into it, and then we kind of spun off a little bit, and you had that guy come on, which was really interesting. And I had to run because I had a friend, and I had to leave. So I didn't really get a chance to finish what I was saying. And that, you know, he was kind of interesting because he said something that, hey, I'm all for this. I want it different than it is. I'm, you know, more independent than I am, you know, Republican. And he talked about actually getting beat up because he wasn't following the party lines. You remember that? And,
right. Yeah.
And,
he said he was running for all.
So, yeah. And you know, you should hang around guys like me. You won't get beat up. But anyway, you know, the thing.
Or Iron Fist. I've seen Iron Fist in the chat. You hang out with you and Iron Fist, and there you go.
yeah, and my combat vet son. We got it covered. But
there you go.
The thing that I think is important is that concept of hope and faith, because, you know, either we're going to mentally go, you know, it's over, we can't beat these people, and you know, that kind of thing. And I see it, you know, if that starts on any of my groups, I stifle it as quick as possible, not in a negative way, but, you know, I try to bring it up in a positive way. That, and I've said this before to people, that, you know, this is more than the presidency. You know, there is an awareness going on. When I look at these Paul, you know, these conservative libertarians, because there's libertarians, and there's conservative libertarians, and I look at these groups. I saw something they did yesterday that just blew me away, because some people know this, some people don't, but there's only 400 national delegates that were tied to the lawsuit. But there was over 1,000 delegates, because, you know, you have local, state, you know, and as people move up through the ladder trying to become a national delegate, there's over 1,000 delegates that have been affected in a negative way in multiple states. So it's a much bigger number when you look at that. But I watched these people yesterday on one of the Paul sites get up, post the information, and they put together a 50-state coalition in a couple hours. And I just thought, wow, these people are organized, they're fighting, and they ain't letting down, you know, because some of this is that was initially filed in the lawsuit, you know, all the fraud, coercion,
hey Chris,
you know, all
real
the,
quick.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, someone just asked what groups. I guess they're asking what groups specifically.
Well, Lawyers for Ron Paul is one of the primary groups that was set up originally, that was a group that was before the lawsuit or before Richard Gilbert came on. That was a group that got together, said we need to build, you know, a coalition, get the information out, and find an attorney. So that's a good place to start. And I'll tell people anybody that's been on my groups, you know, I've told them, go, you know, join. And then I don't have to be, you know, a third party for every flipping conversation and bit of information. You know what that's like, right?
Right.
But I've always told new supporters, just be respectful, you know. And I've never gotten any trouble over there or getting arguments over Newt and Paul. I mean, I'm there to be an observer, you know, and to learn. And that's what I went there with, and my attitude was right, and nobody's ever got mad at me. You know, I'm not over there to argue about Ron Paul and Newt Gingrich. That wasn't my goal. Never was my goal. My goal was, what is this group doing? Why is Paul still in the fight? You know, why is he gaining, you know, so many delegates across the board? Why is there no news on this? I'm a curiosity guy. So I went searching, you know. So anyway, hopefully that helps. And then what was I saying? Oh, anyway. So I watched these guys put together a coalition across 50 states in the blink of an eye. And I thought, you know, and that was part of the things that I've experienced with this libertarian movement, is the organization, the way they move together, the way they work together. And you and I have talked about this, you know, in chat and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and my attitude to I think this is important for people to hear this, because I know we're boiling down and everybody's all freaked out and nervous, and you see the fights on Facebook and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Is you got to realize,
right,
this is bigger than the presidency. What happens at the convention is what will happen, and all you can do is fight right up to that day, and hopefully the lawsuit you know, wins and delegates are, you know, declared unbound and with a judge's stamp on it, you know, at the national convention, you know, 50-50 chance, who knows? I mean, we would never have thought Obamacare, you know, would have been called a tax and held upheld. So you never know. So you have to look through and, at, you know, because I'm not leaving the country regardless of what happens in this presidency. I still live here. And I still have a battle to fight, and I have children, and I have grandchildren coming on, and this is my country, so the fight is still going to continue. And the reason I say that is that sometimes people get caught up with the day. You know, it was amazing the negative energy that I saw around Paul Ryan and the fights and the arguments, and I was glad I was tearing a wall down on my house because it kind of got me away from it because I was like, this is what are we doing? Why are we getting caught up again with the news of the day? We all knew he was going to pick somebody. We all knew it was going to be a rhino. You know, we knew who the short list was.
Right.
And, you know what I mean? And it's
Well, I remember. I remember when I first found out. It was like 6 o'clock in the morning, when they were talking about the announcement, and I was like, my first reaction was, you know, I wasn't happy about it. But then I said, you know, Robert, I said, this does not surprise you. Actually, I mean, even the very person he picked wasn't a surprise to me. I said, why does it surprise you? I said, and honestly, this pick doesn't really change anything. Now, it concretes some of the decisions that I may make later on down the line with, you know, when I scratch in that box here where I live for the nominee or whether I'm going to write a candidate in. I mean, it's more concrete than that, you know, that. But beyond that, it's not going to change anything what I'm going to be doing from a day-to-day basis in fighting for a broker convention because without a broker convention – you know, we're going to get stuck with Romney and Ryan, you know, and we're going to then, because of that, we're going to be stuck with another 4 years of Obama because people are going to look at the top of the ticket, you know, much more than the bottom of the ticket when they're going to look at Romney and Romney's record and you know, and there's history behind it, then Romney's going to lose. We're going to be stuck with another 4 years of Obama, and that's why we're fighting so hard for, you know, to get this broken convention because without it, America's going to be in really big trouble.
Well, and not just that. When I tripped over this lawsuit in my, you know, Paul Movement investigation, what I've talked about, and I tripped over this lawsuit, and I started, you know, really, you know, because it's good to have a paralegal to break it down for you. And I looked at this thing. I thought, you know, this is huge. And people need to understand how big it is. Because when I found out that our voting rights are not protected in the Constitution, I was like, what? You know, because that's something we all assume it is. And so this may define a very important issue, and whether or not we gain from it this time or the next time, I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. I just fight, do what I believe is right, and keep my eye on the future. You know, right now I got the short, you know, I mean, you have to understand hunting, but, you know, I got my eye on the short sight, you know, they call the peep-through sights, but I still have a scope. You know, and some guns are set up that way, and so you have your scope on top, but you still can, you know, view down your open sights. So, you know, that's how you have to approach life long term, and that's the way I look at it because I'm never going to stop fighting. I mean, where else am I going to go? I mean, you know, I thought about Costa Rica, whatever, but I'd rather be here.
Well, you know what? I mean, Ireland's a pretty nice place, from my understanding.
Yeah. Yeah, but I, you know, I lived in Alaska half my life. I'm done with the northern climates. And,
yeah, I understand.
You know, especially the wet northern climates.
I actually really like the Irish political system. I mean, they've got like five parties, and they have to have a coalition government in order to get, you know, things done, and it's very local. I mean, of course, it's an island. It's a small, you know, it's not like as massive as the United States. You know, so the politics can be a lot more personal than here, you know.
Yeah, and not just that, but in Ireland, all the politics occur in pubs where you can eat, so that's really cool.
Well, yeah, there you go. Well, eat and have Guinness. You know.
My brother was in Scotland doing decommissioning a nuclear power plant. He's a project manager, so they can build a new one. So he was up there in the Northern Lakes area and, you know, around all the castles in the – yeah. So that was neat. But, you know, but back to this concept, and I, you know, it's really neat to see that you and I have talked, and Rex has talked, and obviously people on my group have talked, because, you know, we're going to talk about
what are the name
movement.
Of your Facebook groups. Are you prepared to announce those? Or
that's fine. Conservative Revolution is just my main group. You know, it's not very big. I didn't want it really big because I didn't want a chat room. I wanted to work, you know, a work group with people who said, hey, that's a good vision. Let's, you know, get together and learn and work towards goals. But the Conserva-Tarian Unite? Yeah, Unite. That's the one where I want to bring some of the better Paul people on board so we can sit down and hash out these issues of policy issues, because core value issues, not much difference. Come on, give me a break. They're both constitutional. You know, Ron Paul and Newt Gingrich are constitution, states' rights, you know,
right.
and that kind of thing. Policy issues, that's where you get in the arguments, you know, with those guys. So I want to build an environment where we could have real conversations and not, you know, because usually, you know, it's the hit and run arguments, battles out there, you know, that we don't get anything done. You know,
right. We definitely have more, you know, conservatives and libertarians definitely have more in common than they do differences.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, and I think there's a lot of misunderstandings because, you know, I was actually, you and Rex and I and Sammy both called in to that. I can't remember his name, and I apologize if he's listening. But that he was a Paul guy, had a Blog Talk Radio, remember? We all, four of us called in that night.
JC,
yeah.
No, wait, it was
Jeeves Corner.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, and he was great. And and we were all up front.
Genius,
we're all new guys.
Or something like that. Or
yeah, and we all were very up front and had a great conversation, and he brought up a few things, and you know, I didn't want to get into the tit for tat because that wasn't what I called in for, you know. And I basically told him, I said, you know, we can hash all this stuff out because I can tell you right now, you know, as much as you know Ron Paul, as much as I know Newt Gingrich, we both of us have misunderstandings about each person, and that's why I want to build that relationship, because I want to get past the rhetoric, you know. The anti-Newt, anti-Paul rhetoric, and let's find out what the common bonds are. Because if we don't, I mean, divided we fall. That's exactly what happened in this primary.
Oh, I know. And I think in some ways it was purposeful to it was purposeful, Don, to split the conservative vote.
No,
I really
do. You bet it was.
Well, and then one example is you have Rush Limbaugh, who on the day of the Florida, you talk about Florida voting, on the day of that primary, he goes and tells everybody that, you know, the only person that hasn't had a transgression against conservatism was Rick Santorum, and we all know that's not, you know. Yeah, we all know that's not right.
Yeah, I've got his record right here in my computer. Anybody wants it, you know? Jeez. Yeah.
Yeah, and then, you know, saying that, Newt Gingrich, he had a debate with John Kerry, and, he, you know, they agreed on everything when it came to global warming. I'm like, are you kidding me? Really?
I've got that video where Newt is in front of the a committee and just ripping global warming apart.
Yeah, and you know. Go ahead.
No, I was just breathing. I've been outside.
Oh,
working.
Okay. All from all the drywall and stuff that you were doing?
No, up against putting, doing a, adding foam, a foam to the side of a house to increase the insulation. And it's hotter, well, it's hot for us in Western Washington. Especially as mild as it has been this year, and then you get that reflective surface up against the side of a house with no wind. You know, it gets up there about 120 or so.
Oh my gosh! Well, you know, because we're talking about, you know, there's talk about the possibility of, you know, a third party. And so, well, what do you think? What do you think a third party like that would look like?
I think you'd have a mixture. Well, and you've heard me say that I actually wrote three articles on this through the primary, and and it was not seen. It was more of just getting people to understand something, understanding the numbers. When you take out, when you take 100% and split it in half, it's 50 plus 1, and you have a winner. When you take 100% and split it by a third, 34% is a majority. And when you look at we are sitting with 38% independents right now. You've got the conservative, you know, the Republican libertarians, because there's libertarians, you know, Libertarian Party, and there's the Republican libertarians, and you have conservatives, and you have the right wing, you know, what they call the right wing Christians, the Tea Party. Somewhere in there has to be 34%.
Right.
So I think you're going to have a mixture of what I would call constitutional. You know, if you look at the Tea Party platform, it was pretty simple. And I've had this argument discussion with people through the whole primary. You know, the Tea Party worked because they didn't get caught up in religion. They weren't a Christian party. You know, and I'm a Christian, so I can say this. And they were fundamentally smaller government, you know, less taxes, you know, strong national defense. You know what I'm saying? It was a basic platform that allowed independence, you know, right, left, you know, that whole dynamics there to come together, and it was a movement. It's when everybody starts splitting off and saying, well, it's got to be a Christian party, and then it's, you know what I'm saying? It all
got
all divided. And that's what happens when you get off of policies. You follow what I'm saying? And
right,
I think
right.
that's one of the things, because I'm a strong Christian, and my kids grew up in private Christian school and whatever else. But, you know, I want government telling me how to run my Christianity and my life. That's the government's job.
I'm not looking for
the Pope to be my president. Sorry.
Right, yeah, and the people kept saying that about Newt Gingrich. You know, oh, well, Newt Gingrich's affairs and this and that, blah, blah, blah. I said, I'm not looking for a pastor. I'm looking for a president.
That's right.
I mean, now it's not like he lied in front of Congress like Clinton did. You know, people are like, oh,
right.
He's a hypocrite because he went after Clinton. It's like, no, he didn't go after Clinton because he had an affair. He went after Clinton because he lied to Congress.
That's right. Yeah,
you know,
you're absolutely correct.
And I hate to talk about, the possibility of third parties because, you know, I mean, I've been a Republican all my life. You know, I mean, ever since even when I was a kid, you know, they used to call, oh, look, that's Rob, the little Republican. I feel like that the Republican Party, you know, someone said one time, and I said, you know what, I'm leaving the Republican Party. They're like, you know, that's not really what it is. What it really is the Republican Party has left us.
Yeah, which is what Reagan said about the Democrat Party. You show me anything in the majority of Republicans that are in our Congress right now that ties to the platform of what we hired those people for. Come on. How many of them voted for the stimulus package? How many of them voted for the debt limit increase? How many of those guys voted for NDAA? And I tell you, you know, this term that the Paul movement, you know, the neocons, I don't want the government spying on me. Give me a break. You know, you got to look at what the founding father said about this stuff. It is getting out of control, folks. They're going to be taking our guns, and it ain't going to be just the Democrats and the socialists in our party. You have got to step back. When you have 20 Republican senators that were going to side with Obama on the law of the sea, you know, treaty.
Right, right, yeah.
You know, you've got to step back and say, what the heck? This is not the Republican Party that I grew up with.
Right. And for the people who aren't maybe as familiar with the law of the sea, do you want to elaborate on that some? Or?
Well, Barb. Too bad Barb isn't on. She could probably get into more detail than I do.
Yeah, she could. Well, she could possibly chime in on that if she'd like. I'd have to check the chat, see if she's still with us.
I mean,
I believe so, and I could too. I just like to, you know, bring in other people to do some of the talking besides myself, because it's the audience's show as well. And yes, I do see Barbara in there. So, Barbara, if you'd like to call in to talk about that, or one of us here can do it, that's fine.
Well, here's a layman's term of the law of the sea until or if she calls in with more detail. But basically, it was like everything else that we're doing, where we're giving up our power, our right as a country, you know, and it had to do with you know, it's that whole movement towards we aren't the power anymore, that the UN is the power. And it even had some things in it that had to do with if natural resources were found in our sea lane areas that we had to give up a certain percentage to other countries of the world. You know, it was just that giving everything away concept, you know, from our
right.
from our power, from our protection, from our authority, you know, all those things. And so it you know, on a simple verse, what it was, you know, it's just one more step to one world order, United Nation, whatever you want to, you know, whatever you like to call it, you know.
Well, it definitely is a sovereignty issue.
Oh, you big time.
There's definitely a sovereignty issue, you know, on that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, when you got Republicans, see, that, when you have Republicans who are starting to seem so close to being, you know, Democrats, that's why, you know, there's some contending, like, you know what, even if there was a third party, it would still only be like to be a two-party system because the Republican Party and the Democrat Party are becoming so close together, and I think this election cycle is an illustration. You know, what's going on in this election cycle is an illustration.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you compare right. Barack Obama and, you know, and Mitt Romney and see how closely, through my understanding, a lot of what Romney has done for the state of Massachusetts is pretty much what Obama's done for the nation. Or not
mm-hmm.
done for the nation, but I should more succinctly say done to the nation.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, very little comparatively difference. I mean, you could take away their names and just put the record down there and go, yeah, same guy. You know,
I mean,
that's
what
people don't understand.
What debate about?
Who gets to control the purse strings?
I guess. I mean, when they had that debate, you know. Well, actually, I've got a little funny clip here I like to play. Let me find it. I know people have heard this before. I think you might have even heard it before too, Chris. But for the people who's been new to the show, I'd like to play it for them. This is what a debate between Romney and Obama would sound like.
Mr. President, just how different are you from Governor Romney?
Now, let me be clear. I agreed with Governor Romney on many things. For instance, abortion. He was pro-choice most of his adult life. So was I. But he changed his position when he became presidential candidate Romney.
Hold on.
Now, let's take guns. Now, Governor Romney and I, we were in complete agreement on gun control. Now, that is, until he changed his mind.
But I...
And on health care, well, I was so inspired by Romneycare that I nationalized it and called it Obamacare.
Whoa.
But now, presidential candidate Romney is against the individual mandate and universal health care. I agreed with Governor Romney on many things. But this presidential candidate Romney, I don't even know the guy. Then again, he doesn't seem to know himself.
Oh, come on.
Governor Romney? Getting our teacher is responsible for the content of this message.
I love the little clip, man.
Yeah. Oh, I love it.
I think it's so funny. But I mean, but seriously though.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I thought of a cartoon one time, and where, you know, the setting is at a debate, and you have, on one side, you have Obama, and in front of Obama is a teleprompter. Well, then you have Romney on the other side, and you have Newt Gingrich behind him, you know, talking in his ear, giving him answers to the, you know, giving him the answers for the, you know, for whatever the debate question was. And the caption was would say, so which one of these two do you really think has the answers for America? You know, so, you know, and that's what I think, you know, I think that's, I mean, how many times have you heard, Chris, and I'm sure it was a lot, that, oh, well, you know, we'd love to hear a debate between, you know, Newt Gingrich and, you know, Obama.
Love it.
So, I mean, that would be great. Actually, let me pull this up here, because I don't want to be too audio clip heavy. But this one's really great. Let's see if I can pull this up. And what it does is it describes, you know, kind of like what – it kind of does things backwards in which it kind of sounds like they're talking about the debates that's already happened. and then, you know, what an actual debate would sound like between Newt and Obama. But being it as it may, you know, all, you know, just taking all of the clip together, you'll see what I'm talking about.
Gingrich.
Tonight, Newt Gingrich, again, I think did the best.
The guy that I'm agreeing with most up on stage is probably the guy to my left. So I would say that Newt Gingrich would be the guy.
Actually, Newt has been one of the best of the other candidates.
Newt Gingrich showed last night why many conservatives believe he is the best person to take on Obama.
Anybody who's covered Newt Gingrich over the years knows better than to underestimate him.
When Newt Gingrich goes after the mainstream media or one of their reporters, he's going after Barack Obama, and yeah, that's what the Republican primary voters want.
It actually got a standing ovation, which is fairly unusual in a debate like this.
These debates are part of the reason why Newt Gingrich just won South Carolina.
Well, maybe we should go along with what Gingrich wants and have debates without moderators.
Why Newt Gingrich?
I just think he's got the best economic plan of any of the candidates.
Tea Party Nation founder Judson Phillips says Newt is the most electable, and he's also impressed with Gingrich's debate performances.
Reagan conservative, grassroots, which is Newt Gingrich.
Let's take a look at the extraordinary men and women who make up the 104th Congress, and of course its distinguished speaker, Newt Gingrich. Barry Goldwater handed the torch to Ronnie. And in turn, Ronnie turned that torch over to Newt.
The distinction between Speaker Gingrich and President Obama will be so distinct that I think that gives him the best chance in order to be able to get elected president.
Newt Gingrich comes out as the big winner tonight.
And it's rare that the group almost unanimously picks one winner. Tell me, who won this debate? Show the audience, how many of you were backing Gingrich 10 days ago? Raise your hands. And how many of you thought that he won today?
Newt Gingrich would, he would clobber Barack Obama in any debate, any forum that had to do with substance when it comes to policy and solutions for the challenges that America faces. Newt Gingrich would clobber Barack Obama.
And what I want to do is to make sure that the plumber, the nurse, the firefighter, the teacher, the young entrepreneur who doesn't yet have money, I want to give them a tax break now. And that requires us to make some important choices. Last point I'll make about small businesses, not only do 98% of small businesses make less than $250,000, but I also want to give them additional tax breaks because they are the drivers of the economy. They produce the most jobs.
The fact is that more people have been put on food stamps by Barack Obama than any president in American history. Now, I know among the politically correct, you're not supposed to use facts that are uncomfortable. Second, you were the one who earlier raised a key point. There's the area that ought to be I-73 was called by Barack Obama a corridor of shame because of unemployment. Has it improved in 3 years? No. They haven't built a road. They haven't helped the people. They haven't done anything.
Finish your talk, Mr. Speaker.
One last thing.
Yes, sir.
So here's my point. I believe every American of every background has been endowed by their creator with the right to pursue happiness. And if that makes liberals unhappy, I'm going to continue to find ways to help poor people learn how to get a job, learn how to get a better job, and learn someday to own the job.
Let them know, look, there is a wave that is coming at you. And it is a wave of conservatives, and it is a wave of libertarians. And we're coming at you, okay? And if you don't change your ways, we are coming together. And if the Republican Party fails to be the party that espouses our values, then we'll leave. Because we can no longer be behind you. We can no longer be with you. And one way to do that is to either call or write or email them. And on the Bard's Logic Political Talk website, you can find some contact information to the RNC on the Get Involved page of the website. And the way to get to the website, if you're here on Blog Talk Radio listening to the show, is just go to the homepage, and there is a link to the Bard's Logic Political Talk website. So just go on there and click that. And also, for I have an organization on there who is looking for people to, what they call, foster or adopt an elephant. And it's a baby elephant, and for $50 a year, you can adopt an elephant to help feed them and take care of them over in Kenya. And they've been orphaned due to poaching, which is an activity that I rail against, is poaching. And that's going on. And so to help save the iconic mascot of the Republican Party, which is the elephant, go ahead and check that out. That's also on the Get Involved page of the website. And that you can find on the bottom right corner of the page. So thank you very much. And go ahead, Chris. I'd like to chime in.
Oh, I was actually trying to read some of your some of the posts that are flying as we're talking. Interesting conversation on there, but you know, I listen to Newt. I don't know. You know, this goes back to that thing. You have to ask yourself. When I see people, which I have, you know, when Newt was climbing, when he got knocked down, when he got back up, you know, and the Newt supporting groups through time, and then I watch people starting to buy into that fear of Obama, the ABO, anybody but Obama, mm-hmm. the inevitability thing, and I watched people make those decisions in fear. You know, I've heard it all. Number one, you know, the big thing was, well, you know, we just got to get Obama out, get somebody in there, and then we can fix it. That's what Republicans have been doing since the turn of the century. And the only time that anybody got in there and actually did something was Newt and his group. Republicans have lost. I mean, on one of my groups, it says that Republicans have lost their way. And I really believe that there is a core of people that when you add them all up, we are a force that will move and change this party. And you know, you talk about leaving the party. I think there's a lot of people who have already made that decision. I know that the independents are 8% higher than they were from the last primary. So obviously, you know, that came from both parties. But people mm-hmm. are getting sick of this stuff. They're getting sick of it. And that magical number in the middle that both the Dems and the Repubs, you know, are always trying to go after, what they don't understand is they're making that magical number in the middle with their corruption, with their rhetoric, with their elitism, you know. And you and I were talking about that last night, that I've met a lot of Democrats in my life that aren't that much different than me, you know, and in terms of core values. So really, where, you know, when you look at Obama and the people that are in control on the Democrat side, you're going, man, we got socialists and Marxists and some real bizarre people over there. When you look at the people that are the main power players in the Republican Party, we're not happy with them either, but they don't represent us. And we have to, and this is something Rex has said, and Rex and Tex both, and all of us have said, we have to understand that we are the majority. Quit thinking and acting like a minority. Newt dealt with this when he built the movement to take over Congress. You know, he said that Republicans were beat. You know, they had been second place, you know, second fiddle for so long in Congress that they accepted that that was their lot in life. And I really believe a lot of people are becoming like that. Nobody takes the power from you unless you give it to them. I mean, come on, that's a spiritual, you know, scriptural issue if you want to get into that. But you know what I'm saying? You have to give up your freedom. Nobody takes it from you. You have to give up and say, well, oh, you know, Republicans are more moderate now, and this is the way it is. Like that guy last night, you know, these are the people who have the power. You know, somebody gave it to them because they sure didn't come to my house and get my permission.
Right, and I want to backtrack just a small fraction, as you mentioned, Tex and Rex, and they have a Blog Talk Radio show also, which can be heard on Friday nights and Saturday nights on this time slot between 8 p.m. and 10 p.m. Eastern Time. So that's the Tex and Rex show, Friday and Saturday evenings, from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Thanks, Chris. Go ahead.
Oh, no, no problem. I'm just reading the chat flying on your down below, and it's just interesting because this one guy's talking about, I don't participate in the primary, and I hate all the candidates in the various, and I'm thinking,
right.
What? You know what I'm saying? Well, if they're all that bad, why don't you run? Come on. That is such a negative mindset. They're all bad. I mean, come on.
Yeah, they're not all bad. Yeah. Most of them. And, most of them are bad. That is for certain. You know, and I feel like some of the candidates, at least on the Republican side who ran, I believe they ran maybe not so much as to get elected as maybe perhaps to split the conservative vote so that Romney could get in. I mean, that's just speculation on my part, but I think there's, I think there could be some validity to that thought. And one of those, I think, could have been Rick Santorum. I don't know. But there is one thing, and you might have mentioned this yourself, Chris, is that there's actually former supporters of Rick Santorum who are getting together, and I believe they even wrote some kind of letter to maybe some of the delegates. They put out a press conference, and there's something about Jews and Christians from, supporters. I mean, Jews and Christian Santorum supporters wrote some kind of, I think, letter or something of that nature saying dump Mitt or something of that nature. Have you heard any bit of that?
Yeah, that's 100. That's actually 100 and some pages long, and it's not.
Yeah,
And actually, I heard you say that last night. I didn't correct you because we were all running, moving so fast, and I had to go. But
that's okay.
It is not.
It's all right.
That's okay. But the Santorum part, it wasn't Santorum supporters. It's actually a mixture of a lot of people. This group is a coalition.
Okay, well.
Yeah, it's a coalition. They just happened to back Santorum for a portion of the primary, but there's a whole bunch of different people in there. Kane, Newt supporters, everybody. It's just a group of people that have come together to build a coalition that, and put out this. But the letter that you and probably a lot of other people have seen is a one-page snapshot, but actually the document is 100 and some pages long, and it goes through everything on Mitt Romney. Oh, yeah.
Well, and I find it interesting that in all the times I've been watching presidential elections, and actually those are the ones that fascinate me the most, while studying, and paying attention to the politics. It's always the presidential ones, definitely more so than the local. I mean, even the local politics is where I live, is that I've never seen so much resistance to a presumptive nominee as I have in this in this electoral season. I mean, I think part and parcel of it is because it's, a very important election and quite possibly the most important election of our lifetime and why there's so much resistance because, we can't afford, unlike in 2008, which I might even, don't completely agree with, but things weren't as dire in 2008 as they are now. And so, people had, the leeway, we don't like McCain, but we're still going to, he lost, but there wasn't as much resistance against McCain as 2000 in 2008 as there is a resistance to Romney. It's too dire now. It's too dire to ignore.
Well, and I think something else happened. You have to look at, in this, and I think of Barbara Hanley, because she really likes to go through historical. And when you look at it, first you had McCain, all right, and he basically handed it over. And Sarah Palin got attacked. And then President Obama came into power and really, brought the real heavy socialist agenda with him. And they had total control of the Congress. So there was some dynamics there. And then the Tea Party rose up and handed, a sweeping wins and across the board, states didn't get the Senate, unfortunately, but, got the House and got that block in there, a partial block. I could get into that one, what they're not doing. But I think that what happened is people really saw how the Tea Party was treated and how Sarah Palin was treated and how the conservative movement was treated after they handed that victory. you know, to the Republican Party. And then when they doubled down, I think when people realized that Romney was, I mean, literally, because I've had people argue with me with this, but I've seen the evidence of the fraud.
So
you don't want to get into that with me. But shoved down our throat is a nice way to put it, you know what I'm saying? And so I think that people are going, you got to be kidding me. You just went through McCain, who was a moderate, and then you guys, the Republican Party, the GOP, and the elites treated the Tea Party like crap. They stomped on them, put a boot on their neck in Congress and didn't let them take any leadership roles. We got them in there to do a job. They were held back by the rhinos from doing that job. All these concessions handed to Obama without any fight. You know what I'm saying? And I think that when people looked at Romney, they're going, these people are not even – they hate us. That's what I got. I was going, they hate conservatives, they hate Christians, and they hate libertarians. And what do all those three people have in common? God, Constitution, you know what I mean, and rule of law. So they hate that. And I think that people finally went, this is really bad. That was what my revelation was. I'm going, wow, this isn't kind of like just a bad pick. These people want to change this party, and all they want is our vote and our money and for us to shut up and get out of the way.
Exactly.
I think a lot of people realize that. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm babbling.
Oh, no. You know, keep going. But you mentioned fraud, and I'm going to play something. It's not even a minute. It's 50 seconds. And I just want to know if you've heard if you've heard this before.
Hello. This is Rockland County Republican Chairman Vincent Rita calling to remind you that tomorrow, April 24th, is primary day in New York. It is imperative that us Republicans get out to vote and support Mitt Romney for president. Even though the other candidates have dropped out of the race, it is imperative that we show we are united behind the one man that could beat Barack Obama in November. So please, get your families and friends and fellow Republicans out to vote and support Mitt Romney for president tomorrow, April 24th. Polls are open from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. Please make every effort to get out and support Mitt Romney for president. Thank you.
Have you ever heard that clip before?
Isn't he a sweetheart? Oh, yeah, I remember it happening. Isn't he a sweetheart?
Yeah, that happened on the day, or the day before, I believe. It was either the day of or the day before the New York primary, which both Ron Paul and Newt Gingrich were still actively running. Neither one of them, as he said, dropped out of the race. They were still in it. And that
is this,
and, go ahead.
Does this guy still have a position, or has he been ousted?
Through my understanding, he still has a position.
Well, that's the people in that district. You know, if you roll over and let these people do this, this goes back to our conversation earlier. That is the thing that got me to look at what the Paul organization, you know, the supporters of Ron Paul were doing, because they didn't just go, oh, well, that's just the way things are. They're fighting like dogs. You know, I mean, they got an FBI investigation going on right now in the Arizona situation. And all that evidence and all those people's been consolidated, moved back to the states where people can, you know, go to their district attorney or the state attorney general. And if they won't do anything, like in Arizona, nobody would touch them. Nobody would help them. They ended up having to go to the federal government, to the Justice Department, who then turned it over to the FBI and said, this is who you need to do this investigation. You got to fight for your rights, because if you don't fight for them, they're going to take them away. And it isn't just Obama and his people. It's our party, too. You know, sorry. That was my rant.
Oh, no, that's okay. Oh, no, you know, keep going. You know, but another thing, you know, in with what you were talking about, is back before, you know, before the – In the primaries, and this goes all the way back to Super Tuesday. So we're talking about quite some time. So I was trying to get a hold of the state – this is grassroots. This wasn't the national campaign. But I was trying to get a hold of the Indiana grassroots state coordinator for Newt Gingrich. Okay. But it was, you know, grassroots Newt Gingrich campaign, not affiliated with the national campaign. But I tried to get a hold of the, and I did actually, the Indiana, and I talked to her, and I was like, you know, trying to get us to coordinate something for Indiana's primary. And she told me, oh, well, I support Mitt Romney now because he's the one who's got the power. And I said,
yeah.
Really? I said, do you know what he's done to get in the position that he is now? I said, do you know all the, you know, possible, you know, illegal allegations? And, you know, I gave her a whole spill. And she goes, well, she goes, you know what? Yeah, I'm aware, though. I'm aware of all that, though. But, you know, that, and I told him about the lies and chicanery that came out of his campaign. And she goes, well, yeah, I'm aware of that, but that's politics.
Really?
Yeah, I'm paraphrasing. That's not like verbatim what she said, but she's like, yeah, she goes, that's politics, but I'm just going to go with the person who's got the power.
Yeah, well,
and
you
that's
know,
their mindset.
You bet, and you know what? They belong in the Democratic Party then. And if our party is not going to, I was screaming at the TV through this primary, going, tell the truth. You know, and I've said this 1,000 times. Lincoln Douglas debates with their record on the screen for people to see, tell the truth, have the debate, let people address the issues, be honest about, you know, this. Hey, if a guy had, Newt has passed, Newt, you know, when you're in Congress 30 years, you're going to have things, you know, where you tipped onto this a little bit and then you change your mind on it. Be honest about it. This is why I, you know, took that position and this is why I changed that position. You know, and just be honest with people and let people vote, you know, for what the person they believe in. I mean, that's really what it should be, and maybe that's too idealistic and I'm naive, I don't know. But
no, it's not.
You know, it's just insane the things that I've seen. And if it's the money and power is what makes you attracted to somebody, then I'm really worried about that person, and why is that person in a key position in your local, you know, in that situation,
right.
You know.
And that's a good way where I'm unfortunately going to have to say goodnight to everyone because there's only a few minutes left. But I'd like to thank you, Chris, for coming in tonight and spending the time with us. And I'd also like to thank Barbara Haney for coming in tonight and Samuel Sanford for coming. Thank you very much, everyone, both in the chat. Who are listening on other venues, and those who have listened through to the program or who are on the archives. So I'd like to leave everyone, as I do every night, is play the song from Aubrey Ashburn. And everyone have a good night, and take care.